Support for KMUW's Into Music podcast comes from McClelland, reminding listeners that Frank Sinatra coined the word skibbity in Strangers in the Night, which you can listen to in their downtown Wichita showroom. More info on McClelland's innovative sound, lighting, and video technology can be found at maxsound.com.
Hi, I'm Jed Bodwin, and you're listening to Into Music from the KMUW studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network. My guest on this episode is Robert John Burrison of Robert John and the Wreck. Formed in 2011, Robert John and the Wreck have steadily established themselves as a formidable musical force, whether in live performance or on records such as 2023's Ride Into the Light or their 2025 Dave Cobb-produced album, Heartbreaks and Last Goodbyes. The outfit has also recently issued a steady stream of singles via Joe Bonamassa's Journeyman Records, including Put Your Money Where Your Mouth Is. Burrison recently spoke with me about the band's approach to live performance, how European audiences were the first to fully embrace the Robert, John, and the Wreck sound, and how the group maintains its collective sanity on the road. That's Robert John Burrison of Robert John and the Wreck on Into Music coming up now. This is such a simple question, but I have to ask it. Where did you learn how to sing like that?
I don't know, man. My dad was always singing in the house, so it wasn't a foreign thing to sing, you know what I mean? And, you know, growing up, you just start trying things out. And I've had the opportunity to work with a couple people throughout, kind of vocal coaches that kind of help you keep it there while you're on the road and stuff like that. And other than that, it's just trial and error and you know, putting the 10,000 hours in type thing.
Were you like a guitar player first and then you were kind of like, okay, I can sing, I'm going to try this? Or did they come at the same time?
Man, I was a drummer for years and then I play guitar on the side just for fun. And then I just tried to write songs and I definitely couldn't sing. I heard some recordings back in the day and it wasn't good. So it's really just kind of learning how to do it and then figuring it out if it's something that you're passionate about. And kind of felt that I wanted to play and sing and it just kind of happened.
I wonder about that with the drums because, you know, rhythm in this band is so important. Is that kind of like where that came from? Was like being a drummer and going, okay, you know, the rhythm's got to get people.
Yeah. I think that definitely adds to writing and to performing and singing and everything, you know, and the whole band. I mean, other than the keyboard player, we're all drummers first. Henry, our guitar player, I met him and he was a drummer. I didn't even know he could play guitar. And Warren, our bass player, went to school for drums, went to college. You know, he didn't go to school for bass. It's just interesting how that all works sometimes.
That's amazing. I mean, I've heard of like maybe two drummers in a band before, but
yeah, it's a band full of drummers. Apparently
you could almost do like a full on percussion freak out or something at the end of the night.
Yeah, we really should figure that out.
The records are great, but I always kind of get the sense that you're aware that these are songs that are going to go out and be played live. And so that they're going to have to translate. Is that just kind of,
yeah, it's always what we're thinking about. I mean, I think when it comes down to it, we're a live band more than a studio band. So we're always thinking about how they're going to translate. You know, sometimes we're able to figure it out on the road before we record them. Lately we haven't been. So they take on a new breath, a new version. You know, once we get them in our hands and play them in front of people, we'll, you know, extend parts and change things up a little bit because that's, you know, that's where the energy comes from. That's where the, that's where our fuel comes from, if you will. We're definitely always thinking about that in the studio for sure.
That I think also suggests too that you're aware that like when you're in the live setting, people are coming, they're coming to hear the music, but they're also coming to see a show. Was that something that you kind of like had to work out over time, or was it like from day one, like those two have to be together, you know?
I think it's something we worked out over time. You know, I mean, I think in the early days we were just getting on stage and playing as fast as we could and playing as hard as we could and just doing it, you know, like we weren't thinking of someone coming to the show and watching it. We were just up there having fun, which is what we're doing now. We're just thinking a little bit more like how to put these songs together and make sure there's a flow and how would you want to listen to it if you came to the show type thing. So it's definitely in our back pocket most of the time.
Was there somebody that you saw live, like early on, where you kind of said, okay, that I want to take that and make my own?
I think subconsciously we still do that. I think sometimes it's not even like a proper thought that you can like pinpoint, you know. It's you take in something and then you find yourself like doing it on stage and you're like, why am I doing that? I'm like, oh, well, I've seen that guy do it, so that must be what happened. But yeah, I mean the first band I ever saw was Boston. They blew me away, and I think that kind of helped maneuver my life a little bit. I mean, everyone from even our good friends like in Blackberry Smoke, like we just watch them every night and are just learning. I mean, you're just learning from people that have been doing it longer than you. And if you don't take advantage of that school that you are able to take every night, then you're not doing it right. So you got to learn from everyone who's doing it. And we continue to learn every day, in my opinion.
I feel like I can always learn something from somebody, you know, even if I feel like I do this well, but I always try to like listen and go, okay, what's a different angle that maybe I can bring into what I do, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think as human beings, we're always learning if you're willing, if you're willing to learn.
What was the point with the band where you felt like, okay, this is really something? Because I think a lot of bands, you know, I kind of have this joke that, you know, if bands are humans, 5 years as a band places you at like middle age.
Yeah, I mean, if you put it like that, it's probably 10 years until we were like, yeah, you know, this is working. I think the early days, you don't even know what's happening until you look back on them. You know, you're just out there, you're figuring out how to play with people every night. You're figuring out how to tour in a van. You're figuring out everything, you know, and without those years of figuring it out, it's not like someone gave you a textbook and like said, this is how you do it. And this is exactly how it works, because it doesn't work like that for every single person. And you got to figure it out on your own sometimes and know what you need to keep yourself going, and know what the brothers around you need to keep them going. You know, everyone has their own things and their own ways of living that you kind of have to nurture to make it through like the tours that we do. I mean, it's not an easy thing to do, but you know, we try our best to make sure everyone has what they need. And that's all just time. That's all just time on the road to figure out what you actually need and what works and what doesn't. And at some point you can't go to the bars after the show every night, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing that always amazes me is like, you know, I'll hear people talk about, oh yeah, you know, I bet after the show there's a big party, and it's like, yeah, no, they're in the van or in the bus and ready to conk out, so they're rested for the next night so they can do it again, you know.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, and you know, I mean, back in the day, it's always fun to go out afterwards and grab a drink, especially if you're playing with someone you know, or even on a day off, you know, you're like, oh, day off, let's go out, let's drink, let's have a party, let's have fun. But you know, nowadays days off mean that we get to go to bed at like 9:30, you know, and rest up and get prepared, because we all have families at home and we all are sacrificing a lot to be on the road and away from them. So if we're not out here doing the best that we possibly can, then we probably shouldn't be out here doing anything.
There's that moment where it's like, yes, this is still fun. Yes, this is still rock, but this is the thing that's paying the mortgage or paying the van payment.
Yeah. This is the reason why there's roofs over our families' heads.
So you put out a new single, Put Your Money Where Your Mouth Is, this a little bit earlier this year. That's like a really cool tune, you know, has a lot of the elements, you know, that we like. And my understanding is that's kind of informed by some of the, you know, life on the road and.
Yeah. I mean, everything we do is just a reflection of what we've been through and what we've dealt with and who we are. So yeah, everything. I mean, most of the time there's the story songs in there that you just think of something and you just run with it. But there's other things that just kind of, not everyone says what they mean all the time.
Well, you have, I know he's joining up with you soon, Sam Morrow. Have you played with him before? Do you know him at all? Or?
We played with him on a cruise. We've known of him for a while because I think he goes back to LA and I remember seeing his name. He's out in Nashville now, but yeah, we connected on a cruise, just a handful of great guys, and we're stoked to be out on the road with him. And then, so looking forward to it. I mean, I think just having two great bands on a bill is it makes the evening feel good. I there's better words to use, but you kind of you put the evening together as one instead of like, oh, well, this band's opening and then this band's going to play. It's like, oh, no, we're going to go see Sam Morrow and Robert John the Wreck. Like, it's that's the night. And even band like a band called Parker Barrow, who we're playing with tonight, it's going to be an evening. It's not just here's this and here's this. Some people came for that. Some people came for that. It's they came for the evening, for the night, for the music, which is, I think it's important to me to have that kind of evening opposed to some random person got thrown on the bill 2 days before it and everyone comes and is just waiting for the next one, or anything like that.
Sometimes, if I go to a show, even if I hadn't heard of the opener, I always want to get there because I never know. That could be my next favorite act or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's and the best part is we've been openers plenty of times, so I'm not saying that, and we still are. We still love opening shows. And when I go to a show too, like I want to see the opener too, because you either find something new that you might not have known, or if it's not your thing, you can just grab a drink and go on the patio or something. Like you're not losing out on anything other than the opportunity to possibly have a new favorite band.
And I always like it too when I see bands where it's obvious if, if they're doing like a month or 6 weeks together and it's obvious that there's like some camaraderie there that they're
Sure.
not, and it's like, oh, that's cool, they really dig each other.
Yeah, and we try to do that every time we have, anytime we're anywhere. I mean, we're all musicians out here. We're all on the road. We're all doing this because we love it and because we believe in it, So we never look at it as some sort of competition or some sort of head over foot thing, I mean, we're all here, let's have a good time and let's play music together because when are we going to see you next or something like that, So we always try to do something, and it's always super last minute because you have a bunch of people that has to figure out what song are we actually going to play together tonight. It's that one, that one. Oh, that one's cool. Oh, let's do that one. And then before you know it, it's 7:30, and we're like, okay, well, we're just going to do this one.
You're doing this string here essentially kind of through the South up into the Midwest. And then a
Yeah.
little bit later, you're going overseas. And it seems like people over there have kind of embraced you, like, in the UK and so forth. And it seems to me that they really like this kind of like raw American music. Has that kind of been your experience?
We started touring in Europe in 2015, so over 10 years now. And for a while, we put all of our eggs kind of in that basket because those were the opportunities that we were getting. We didn't have a U.S. booking agent. We weren't getting opportunities that much in the U.S. So if we can go tour in Europe, then we're going to do it. So like there were years where we'd go out there 3 or 4 times, which sounds insane to a normal person. But we got to take the opportunities you can when you have them. Yeah, so they've been great to us. We've been going out there for over 10 years, and it's going really well. And so we just started kind of pushing the States a few years ago, to as much as to the point where, oh, we can't go to Europe twice this year. We got to tour the States. We've never had that conversation until a few years ago. So it's nice to have both conversating now. And now it's difficult because we want to do everything, and we want to do literally everything we can, and it put us on the road for 12 months out of the year, and we also have a mental state to take care of. So yeah, we have to pick and choose and kind of maneuver things around a little bit, which is a good problem to have.
Well, and the States are hard too because it's like you can't, it's like, right, you can kind of like say, like, okay, we've got Ireland, but the States, it's like you can have Florida, but you might not have Louisiana,
Oh yeah, no, that's a it, and it, and like I mean, in Europe, I mean every country is the size of the state, so we go over there and we do it all, and then maybe we play 9 countries or 8, and that's like playing 8 or 9 states in the States. I mean, a West Coast run could be just as many shows as playing all of Europe. An East Coast run can be playing even more than Europe. So it's an interesting thing we have here. It's been great though. I mean, it's nice to be in the States because we're closer to home. We're seeing friends that we haven't seen in a while, or friends that have moved, and we finally get to see them again. But we love them both. I think just equally and dearly. It's all about the fans that come. It's all about the people in that room, is what the is what we're what why we do it, because we get the energy from them to keep pushing.
You've been listening to a conversation with Robert John Burrison of Robert John and the Wreck. You can learn more about the band via their official website, robertjohnandthewreck.com. That includes tour dates that have already been announced all the way through the remainder of 2026. You can learn more about this podcast and all programming on our station by visiting our website, kmuw.org. Send us your questions and comments at info@kmuw.org and find all the latest programming notes on that website as well. As always, we'd like to remind you that our theme music is composed and performed by Torn Anderson. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.